outside the box of religious obligation lies a road less travelled, into the heart of the Father's affection. Slinging freedom all over the place, this is the God Journey.
Well, it's early Sunday morning. We're at 8,244 feet above sea level in the mountains of Colorado. Wow. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning. Coming to you live from our young adults retreat.
Well, it's live for us, but it's not going to be live for anyone
else.
That's true. So it's kind of hard to say that. But yeah, we are in the midst of our young 20s and 30s gathering. And so we thought, man, we'll give you some reflections about it. This is actually the last time Kyle and I have to even try and record a podcast before our Friday. So even though we're not quite at the end of it, but we just wanted to share with you some of what's been going on here. And so, Kyle, what are your thoughts?
Well, honestly, I didn't know what to expect whenever I host a retreat along these lines or something in this vein. I have no idea what God's going to do. There's been some that have been really good, and there have been others that looked very, very differently than what I had ever imagined. And honestly, the last couple of gatherings that I had planned didn't go very well. Like either the numbers weren't there, which actually Kyle and I were talking about gauging the value and the success of something by the numbers and how that's such a tempting thing, and yet is so destructive often to what God's wanting to actually do and the value of that. I think this group, we've had 10 people plus a couple of locals that have come and joined us. And I feel like it's been a perfect number. I feel like I can't even imagine adding more people to it. Honestly, I feel like it's been a really good number for our first time out and the amount of people that are here and how conversation has been facilitated. But
especially when you get to story, because
yes,
you feel like we managed to get in everyone's story.
Yes.
But it's not like we've had a lot of extra space to fill.
No.
And so if you had more people, it would have been less about story and more about topics.
Yeah.
It'd have been less personal. And that's always I think the conundrum of quote unquote ministry considerations is whenever you have a conversation of two or three or four, that's the best conversation to be in.
Mm-hmm.
You've got enough resource, and yet there's the room for intimacy and there's room for people to be real and not feel exposed. If you get beyond that, I think how different this retreat would have been. If we had 50 people here, first of all, we wouldn't have any room to sleep.
True.
If we had 50 people here, then it's some people tell their stories. Some people get known.
Mm-hmm.
It's more topic. You're more talking principles and teachings and things like that, then you are really letting people unpack their journey and really seeing what's going on there. And I think that's why Jesus spent so much of his time in homes and on walks with people. And I'm engaged with the Gospels, not because of the Sermon on the Mount or those things, but the Upper Room Discourse or the Woman at the Well or Blind Bartimaeus. It's those smaller bits where he seeds in the world the things that matter.
Yeah. I think that this space, man, having 25, like 24, 25, like we had initially talked about doing, I don't know if it would have been a very different experience.
It would have been. And if that's who God had drawn here,
yeah,
he would have had a plan for it.
Yeah, it's very true.
But I think about us coming and people asking, you know, what are you guys doing? What are you guys planning? And we kept saying, we're not planning anything.
Yeah.
I mean, there'll be some big conversations. There'll be lots of little ones. We'll have meals together. And I even thought when you're coming up into that, always I have this thought of, am I prepared enough?
Yeah.
Because I haven't prepared anything.
Yeah.
When you go to other retreats, man, you got your sermons all nailed down. You've got your
schedule,
45 minutes.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yes. We even got an impromptu volleyball game in yesterday afternoon and with the backdrop. I mean, we're in this valley, Westcliff, this valley right leaning up against some of the high Rockies behind us here. And we're playing volleyball with these Rocky Mountain peaks behind, and three on three for an old man. I've decided I won't come to too many of these retreats without some older folks, because I'm competing with some young ones out there at high altitude. So
you managed well.
I held my own for an old bat playing on the course, but yeah, it was fun.
It was interesting. Jess asked me this morning how I was doing and just kind of how the retreat was going. And I told her, I said, I feel tired and rested at the same time. And that was an interesting, I didn't even really expect that response. But honestly, Wayne, this retreat has been so, such a healing balm to my soul, and I didn't even know that I needed it. I've just found myself recognizing that we were in a thinner space than I thought, and that my heart needed a thinner space while we were up here than I had imagined. Even telling a little bit of my story and having God draw some deep emotion back up that I haven't felt in a while when I've told my story. And that was really intriguing to me. I found myself almost getting caught off guard where, you know, I came and I kind of was behind the scenes kind of putting the details together and working with Kyle and arranging everything for this to happen, and then showing up and not really knowing what was going to happen, and then finding myself almost feeling more like a quote unquote retreat participant than a retreat organizer, if that makes sense.
Well, I think we've all felt like that because we haven't had the leader on the stage thing.
Yeah.
We've just all been people together.
Yeah.
And I felt a little, I mean, I can tell my age difference just in the fact of what's common among this group of people, what's common to their age and identity.
How so? What came up for you?
I've just even watched some of the conversations around dinner and all that. They gravitate toward each other more than they gravitate toward exploring something with me in the off times. Now, in the times we're together having more conversations, there's a lot being directed at me. And that's some of what I have found interesting about this retreat, because some of the common elements are there's a lot of paradox. There's an anger and suspicion of older people feeling like they've been judged harshly by their elders, and that they've been traumatized by their elders, whether that's been in church settings or parent settings. A lot of people dealing with trauma at this retreat in various forms. And assigning that to a generation like ours, who in a lot of media look down on people who are deconstructing their faith, or looking down on them for being the kids in the basement playing video games at their parents' expense. I mean, that's how this generation has been stereotyped.
Yeah.
And that doesn't speak for the generation. And it's easy for my generation to look down and say, well, you haven't done what we've done, and you didn't get married at 21 and have kids and work. And they feel that contempt. And so I get that message pretty strongly.
Okay.
At the same time, there's the paradox, the underlying hunger. They want older people to be their cheerleader.
Yeah.
They want people who see them, care about them, and are willing to help them without controlling them. And yet they don't have much of that experience.
And that's, I think that was one of the times that I felt caught off guard the most, is when we were talking, it would have been Friday when we were talking, and I got triggered in regards to talking about the old, you asked what the older generation can offer to our generation. I didn't realize that there is some anger and some deep frustration there, looking at some of the leaders that I've had experiences with that have been older, and yet having really, really rich experiences with older generations as well, and just their impact and mentoring in my life. And I would definitely not be the person that I am today without you and a couple of other people that I'm thinking of specifically that have been huge influences in my life. And yet I kind of got caught off guard a little bit. So surprised by some of the, you used the word contempt, and it was, I think that's fairly accurate to the way that I felt, because it was just this deep seated frustration of, you think you have it together, and yet the challenges and the experiences and the space that specifically the generation that's coming up under me, the iGen, I mean, they're so far separated from it. Even the concerns and the thoughts and the elements that they're growing up in and the challenges that they're facing are so different. And yet they think that they understand them and that they know them, and they come at it with this, oh, I've got the answers for you approach. And it's like, whoa, pause. You didn't experience any of that. Like you, and yet even this week I got re-reminded of the necessity of the wisdom and the input and the value of life experience by generations older than me. I was talking with my supervisor, and she just had some phenomenal feedback from real life experience. I was dealing with a crisis situation in the school, and I was the mental health professional in the room, and I've got administrators, I've got school counselors, I've got all these people in the room, and they're looking to me to guide the climate and how we're going to respond to this mental health crisis that's going on. And I was talking to my supervisor about it, and she just had some great heart checks for me and brought me back to some things that I known but hadn't remembered. I just found myself sitting there in supervision being like, wow, I'm so thankful that I have her providing input, because those were some things that I wouldn't have thought of. But her life experience and the challenges that she's faced in the educational world informed her to come back to those and say, hey, remember, if the mental health professional is freaking out in the crisis situation, then you're really going to freak out the school professionals. So please be careful.
Try not to freak out.
Try to stay as calm as possible. And it was just one of those other moments where it's like, Lord, that juxtaposition of frustration with some of the entitlement or arrogance that I've felt, and I'm sure the older generation has felt from my generation as well, the entitlement, the arrogance, the oh, you guys think you know it, but then you don't have our life experience. We've worked hard to get to where we're at. And that tension, where do you see that tension at? Like, do you feel that tension?
That's been perplexing to me, because I do not, from the people I know mm-hmm. who've even known about this going on,
yeah.
the prayers, the passion, the love for a younger generation to catch fire with the life of Jesus, I don't catch any of that contempt. Mm-hmm. I don't catch any of them looking down on these people, because in fact, many of these are our sons and daughters, yeah. or our grandchildren.
Yeah.
So the wider stereotype, which always gets you, whether you do it racially, whether you do it ethnically, whether you do it LGBTQ, whenever you live the stereotype, you have diminished people.
Yeah.
You've got to really get down to what's really going on here. I have, even this morning, I'm getting texts from people saying, hey, we're aware of where you are. Just want you to know we're praying for you and praying for those God's gathered up there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I think there's a real passion. I think people like my age really want to help younger people, mm-hmm. but don't have access to that. Don't know how to engage them. And I hear from the younger people, they want that.
Yes.
They don't know how to engage it either.
Yep.
And they're not even sure who's safe, because most of also the people true. Who want to gather them, you know, want to exploit them, want to build a ministry, want to build something, want to tell them what to do, because I'm more experienced and I know this stuff and you just do what I tell you. They're not willing, we talked about last night, to really come alongside their journey of how Jesus is being revealed in them. Religion always skips how Jesus is revealing himself in you and just tell you how Jesus wants you to live and act and be.
Yes.
And that's what robs people of the journey.
Well, and one of the things, I think one of my biggest takeaways from this retreat has been something that you said yesterday, and that was a guardian of a gift. And your concept behind that was not telling the gift what it is, not shaping the gift, not cramming the gift into a box and saying this is the box that it has to live in, but holding space for that gift to grow and flourish and develop on how the Holy Spirit is wanting to do that in this time and in this space and in this season.
And that gift is Christ in them, the hope of glory. So
yes.
The hope of glory is not, will they follow Wayne's teaching? Will they read He Loves Me? Will they listen to the podcast? Will they?
Yeah.
The thing is, how the gift in them, Jesus Christ has come to live in them, the Holy Spirit to guide them into all truth. It's not my job to guide them into all truth. Jesus put that in the hands of the Holy Spirit. So our job, I think, as older people, and you can be older and be younger age-wise. So it's just not chronology. I want to say a little bit about that, because we've heard a lot of frustration here. People that are here have friends like that are 41 and 42 that are upset because they weren't able to come and they wanted to come. And I'm really glad that we kind of said, but it is arbitrary. I don't want people in their 40s and 50s hearing this saying, oh, God's got something really unique going on in the 20s and 30s or the 60s and 70s that we're left out of. Or if you're 15 or 16 or 18 and listening to this. God, the awakening we're talking about is going on in the whole world. There's just something about God identifying it, if for no other reason than the people I'm praying with about things in the earth had this focus on the heart, so that we begin to hold them in prayer as God makes himself known. And it really isn't that's unique. They're more special. So if you're at 41, obviously you're left out of what God's doing in our day.
Yeah.
Please don't think that way. And if you can catch the same spirit of being a cheerleader for a younger generation, and if the 20s and 30s can be a cheerleader for the, you know, people that may be in their 50s who are just starting on a different journey, then that's awesome too, because it really isn't that age is the distinction of merit or of worth or of anything. But as we were praying, this group I'm with, as we were praying the Wednesday before I came up here, and that just happened to be a day we were meeting, and I didn't think we'd pray specifically about this retreat. That wasn't on my heart, because we're not holding space necessarily for my ministry or this retreat or whatever.
Yeah.
But I know we just said, let's pray, let's hold before the Lord. And when I close my eyes to pray, and I'll put the picture on the top of this podcast just so you can see it, I saw this globule, which is just this massive star and fog and cloud way in the distance of this void, which was like space, but there were no stars. It was just this void. And I'm looking at this, and I mean, as soon as I closed my eyes, I saw it. And it was a vision, because it was not just something I made up in my head. I actually saw it with my eyes, but my eyes were closed. And I just said, gosh, what is this? And it was like, this is my outpouring. This is this embryo. This is the seed of my work among younger people in the world. And I had that sense of fragility with it, how fragile it seemed. And it was like God inviting us, and other people sharing as we were praying this together with other people in the room, that we would guard that space. How do we guard that gift? And God was asking, guard it with me. And we're like, okay, we don't know what to do. And if it's God, you know, my perplexity is always, well, if God's doing it, doesn't he know how to do it? What does he need us? What does he need us guarding it for?
Yeah.
The why of that, I cannot answer. And I had a neat thing. Maybe we'll talk about down the road why. Where I read last week about, it's not why that's ever, when they're asking the why questions of God, it's never illuminating. It never illuminates the path for us, because it's always not the why, because we're trying to figure out stuff and motives that, particularly when you're dealing with the three in one, the greatest mystery of all to us, how does God exist three in one? And now we're going to try and figure out what God's motives are and why he does what he does and why he would ask us to guard. No, what we're going to say is, okay, what does that guarding look like? Because we don't know. How do we guard? How do we hold space for the work you're doing and hold in our heart? And if you know, and you're listening to this, and God gives you a piece, let us know, right? Write us, because I think I want other people than the folks I'm praying with on every other Wednesday to be in this space with us. I want other people hearing this, because I get feedback all the time from people who are hearing similar things to what we're hearing.
Yeah.
And that's part of this growing conversation that I think it's going to help unveil exactly what God's doing. But I saw this little blob, this fragile thing, and it was just, hold it. And it shaped my heart in coming here. I want to hold it. And then there was this word that was just weird. It was like God said, do you know how many times I've planted this only to have it stolen from me? And we're like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Immediately, my heart's drawn to the many renewals, whether it's the charismatic renewal at the beginning, the early days of the Vineyard movement or Calvary Chapel, the Jesus movement. There's all these things where God's like planted something really new in the earth, and how quickly mostly men, but some women, men have taken it to be their possession.
Yeah.
To put it in a box, to manage it, to make money off of it, to sell to it, to use it as a market, and how quickly every act of God has been prostituted by those who claim to be leaders, even very genuine people. That's not a slam on, you know, it's just, there's something about our humanity that wants to take something God begins and go, ooh, I can use this.
Yeah.
And then we start to exploit it. And that's what I think God was meaning. I have this stolen from me so many times. And I really think there's an end of the age undercurrent to this, whether it's the end of the age or not. Sarah and I are beginning to live as if. As if it were, as if this is that season, and God's wanting to have a movement. I hate that word. I'm not going to use that word. I peg my own.
Peg your own. I was going to say, you didn't even just flutter it.
Very, very rare that I peg my own yuck meter. But I think God's wanting to inhabit the earth. And I wouldn't say it's new, like he's never wanted to do it before.
Yeah.
I would just say he's always wanted to. And there's a fresh stirring, and there's people catching wind of that. And some of the people here are those catching wind of that. And it's interesting to hear them talk. As I've sat back, listened to their stories, a lot of them are, man, they've been through some incredible trauma, some of them, some of them not. And they've coming into life, but they don't know what that life means.
Yeah.
They're kind of like, that was a bad system, but I'm looking for another system.
Yeah.
Not all systems are an attempt to package God's reality, which is going to falter at, in the essence.
Yeah.
That it's the gift within, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That doesn't need a system, but it does need a way for us to understand the framework by which now we get to live. It's not just studying scriptures and learning lessons and trying to apply it through human effort. That's not it.
Yeah.
But that's all we've been taught. And that's so people look for, okay, that was bad. I got to look for something better. Instead of, why don't we look to something more real? Mm. Something that begins to solve. And I honestly believe in, I was thinking about this morning on my 4 mile walk. It's 27 degrees wind chill out on the mountain. Very invigorating walk this morning. But I was thinking about, I think every person here holds space for thousands of others who are like them. Mm-hmm. We've got the person who's been through incredible trauma from very broken parents. Mm-hmm. We've got the person here who was training for ministry and really thought they were coming to their own and had this amazing opportunity and then realized that God wasn't asking that of them.
And literally had it offered to them.
Yeah, literally had their dream job offered. And it wasn't like God said, I don't want you to do it, you can't go. It was, I couldn't do it. I didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
I knew there was something else God had prepared in my heart. And so I think every person here is, and what happens in those people, there's something weird in scripture that you catch about the federal man, or in Adam and Eve, we've all sinned. Mm-hmm. That's right. In Christ, we're all redeemed. That there's acts of one that apply beyond the one. And we're not saying this is that redemptive story, but I do believe there's freedom that's coming to these folks that is opening the door to freedom for other folks that aren't here. It's happening elsewhere.
Yes.
Because these people are standing in that place with God together.
And that just brings me back to the picture that God gave us when we were practicing holding and practicing just, I guess, communal conversation with God while we were up here.
Communal prayer.
Yeah,
it's a great way to say it.
And
it's not prayer like every... I love the fact that when I talk about... I've hated almost every prayer meeting I've ever been in past the age of about 22. When we were young, charismatic renewal, early days, man, prayer meetings were exciting. God was revealing stuff. And then it got into, my gosh, we're just praying for Aunt Maud's bunions for the 57th time and nothing's changing.
Yep.
And I love that everyone here, I was talking about, could we just have some prayer time? You could go... Oh boy, this is really good. It's going to get religious, artificial, and ugly quick.
Yep, yep.
But it didn't.
It didn't. And I got this picture. It was like the world, the ground. It was a picture of a ground like the desert, and it was cracked and thirsty and desperate. And God had these little springs of water that he'd been slowly building and nurturing under the surface.
Yeah.
And they were popping up all over. And they were in all these different places. They were in spots that you didn't think they would come. And yet it was like refreshing to the soil. It was this life that the soil didn't even know that it needed until it started spurting up wherever God had it come up. And that picture to me just, I feel like aligns so deeply with what I see going on right now. It's people that are the unexpected, whatever age, whatever demographic, whatever sphere of influence they're in, but God's been doing a unique work, very subterranean, not in the limelight, not on the front of the stage, more in obscurity, more, and in times born out of deep frustration of, Lord, I want to do something for you, or I want to live a bigger life, or I don't even know if there's a God out there, but there's this yearning in my heart that I don't know what to do with. And he's been nurturing that at this underground level. And I feel like it's starting to call it to the surface, and it's starting to bubble up, and it's starting to quench that thirst of people who were dying of thirst but didn't even know it. And all of a sudden they're experiencing this fresh water that they had no idea that they even needed.
Yeah, and I know what I'm going to take away from this is how much prayer has been redefined in my heart. Mm. I was talking about on the ride back from the volleyball game yesterday with one of the couples that's here from Wisconsin, actually wrote me an email last Sunday and I got it. And just reading over going, I think you need to be here. And so I wrote him back and said, I don't have time to answer your email, but we have this retreat. I don't know if you knew about this gathering that was going on, but I feel like I want you to pray about maybe whether God wants you here. And I will pay your way here at the retreat if you'll even consider coming.
Yeah.
And man, he and his wife got their stuff together. They just said, man, that bears witness with us, but let's, and they had a whole bunch of kids and things to arrange and jobs, and they got here. And I was talking with them on the car about prayer and how prayer is a whole lot of, we packaged it in this religious form of closing our eyes and sitting in a room and saying, dear God, and in Jesus' name. And it became so artificial and so fake and so ineffectual.
Yes.
And I know this has been the legacy of the last year of praying with this group online and now seeing it in a room with other people. And I do it with others as I travel as well. As to how prayer is really different than making all these requests of God or standing up and demanding and claiming in Jesus' name and evoking principalities and powers. And it's really the simplicity of let's hold space before God. Mm-hmm. Let's see what he begins to show us. Let's go down the roads of discovering what he's revealing. And then coming away from that, watch how much that has shaped my heart in ways that weren't direct. But the indirect fruit of it is I have a different perspective about things that I didn't have before yesterday morning. And we held space for this generation inside God's heart. And we held space for the older generations. And I don't want to make this about age because there's people right now coming alive in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And there's older brothers and sisters that may not be chronologically aged. They may not be my age. They may be much younger than me. And that's fine. But how does that come together? How does the need here to be loved, and I hate this word, you know, fathered or mothered. I hate that because Jesus said we're all brothers and sisters. You don't need any fathers.
Yeah.
But they're really looking for someone that can come alongside them, not tell them what to do, see them, hear their story, guard their heart, watch them grow, encourage them, be a sounding board without having to possess, having to own. Without being angry. And I think one of the things maybe we'll talk about today, it'd be interesting to see where the conversation this morning goes, but I think it'd be, how do you look for someone to encourage you? What are the warning signs that the person who wants to encourage you isn't the one God's given, or isn't one of those God's given you to encourage you?
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot of things like anger, like telling you what to do, the Colossians 2 scripture. Anyone who tells you what to do proves by doing so they've lost connection with the head. That's Eugene Peterson's The Message. That's just a powerful. If I'd have known that growing up, everybody telling me what to do proves they've lost connection with the head. And it doesn't mean they're not believers. Doesn't mean they're not Christians. It just means they now think change happens by human effort.
Yes.
Instead of by the power of Christ.
Yeah.
And so instead of encouraging the gift of what's God saying to you and what's God giving you and how's God equipping you to live, it's let me tell you what you need to do and you'll be better for it. And I was listening, some of my walk this morning, I was listening to that last Mars Hill podcast where it got into a lot of that, which is the directive, I'm your father, I'm telling you what to do, so shut up and do what I tell you. That is so anti-gospel. And the younger generation is sensitive to that. But if you're not looking beyond that, if you're just throwing out the baby with the bathwater, so all older people are just going to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Wait till God brings someone across your life that's just willing to see you and hear you, unpack with you. And they won't tell you what to do. They won't even give you a lot of counsel unless you come asking.
Yeah.
And even when you ask, they're going to say, well, I don't know, but here's a thought I might have. They're going to give you all the room in the world to explore, not say, thus saith the Lord, God told me to tell you. And those influence, it's people who are so genuine who think now they've reached this level of maturity where they can tell. I had someone call me the other day, you know, I have the gift of discernment, right? I'm going, okay, anybody threatening with that? I'm pretty well, you may have had it at some point, but the way you're talking to me proves that you don't. But, you know, I have the gift of discernment, right? Yeah. And then they gave me a piece of what I had to do. And it was completely, I'm just saying that I'm just dumbfounded. This is a person I love. And I'm just going, I'm just dumbfounded, man.
Yeah.
But it's okay to know when someone's coming at you that way, you don't have to give it weight. You don't have to go, oh, this guy's older than me and he's wiser and he got the gift of discernment after all. If the voice of the Spirit isn't in it, then the voice of the Spirit isn't in it. because he's the one we're following.
And I'll be interested to see, because I think that would be very much worth exploring with this group, because even last night, the question that the gentleman from Wisconsin brought up, and about just about how in that deconstruction process, and as God's winning your heart back into a deeper experience of his love, how when in those initial days, that yuck meter is super sensitive. I mean, like any hint of anything, and it's pegged over to the red line and bail, 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 run, run, run kind of a thing. It just
almost all day, every day.
Oh my gosh.
And it's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's really exhausting because there's so much religious crap in our world that travels under well-intentioned people.
Yes.
And that's the confusion.
Yeah.
Because these people say they love me and they say they're going to be a safe space, but as soon as I don't do what they told me I should do,
yes,
then they reject me and they judge me, and then that proves they were never a safe space to begin with.
Yeah. And I loved the comment last night about how coming from a very broken, chaotic, horrific home, and then saying, oh, well, I wanted the church, in air quotes, the institutional church, to be family. And so they went there seeking family, and that was the place that they were supposed to be able to receive love, unconditional love and care and support. And they felt like that initially, until then they started tasting the same flavors of the abusive home that they came from. And they're like, wait a minute, I thought this was my loving family, and hold on, this has God's name on it. Like, what do I do with this? Like and untangling that and unraveling, because it's not that all people that go to an institutional gathering or Sunday morning gathering are ill intent, or that wouldn't be a phenomenal sojourner, fellow sojourner, seasoned sojourner, to walk alongside of somebody in their journey with Christ. Yeah, it was just really interesting to hear that come up and how to untangle that and not throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah, and I know when we challenge religious kind of thought, people who are in a normal church environment think we're all talking about them.
Yes.
Which religion to me isn't the Sunday morning gathering.
No.
It often overlays it, for sure.
Yeah.
But I was thinking when you were just talking of the quote from the book of the Church Refugees book, where the guy said, it's not that they're bad people. Mm-hmm. It's that they're in a system that forces them to make bad choices.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's just, wow. That's what I see so often. Good-hearted people, well-intentioned, but they're still dealing with the law. And we talked about that mm-hmm. last night. The law is not the Mosaic law. That's where we get confused. Oh, we don't follow Moses' law. We have our freedom in Christ. But religion, the Christian religion, is a system of expectations that you have to meet to keep God happy.
Yes.
Which is law. That's the very definition of law with the capital L. It's not Moses' law, but it's New Testament law, or Paul's law, if we want. And Paul wasn't selling that.
No.
He was selling Christ in you, the hope of glory, and transformation happens there. And we got the idea that, boy, we get to know truth. We've read this book. This is the way this guy says, the way I want it. So I'm telling other people what they need to know, instead of holding a space to incubate their ability to discern and respond to Christ in them. To if they've never connected with the Holy Spirit, start there.
Yeah.
How do I help you connect with that? How do I connect you with a character of God that's endearing, so that you know? Because I think the first thing Jesus says to any of us is, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And believing that's true can take years.
Oh, yeah.
To against all the other voices of, God's disappointed in me, and all the shame that I've borne for various things I've done or had done to me. And people hold all that shame. And so even Jesus just saying, I love you. You are my dear, dear brother, sister. That may take years to find a home in the heart of a person where they can actually live as if it's true, which is to believe it. I believe that he does. It's easy to say, I believe the theology, but the transformation doesn't come in believing the theology.
No.
As powerful as good theology is, it comes in the knowing of that reality in my heart. So now I can live loved inside God. And then the relationship begins to take on a synergy.
Yeah.
Me and him and this dance of God doing, God revealing, me responding and him leading and me following. And I'm so hopeful in my heart that something is changing. There's something in the wind.
Yes, there is.
Yeah. That makes this so much more real. And people who have carried this 20s and 30s, wish you could be here, carried it in your heart and I've gotten emails from 20s and 30s that were going to come, but things came up and they couldn't be here. And I just want to say, no, you haven't missed anything.
No.
This is an ongoing conversation. We may do something like this again.
Yeah.
We may not age restrict it. We might. I don't think God's work is age restricted. And I just want to keep saying that over and over and over again. I'm really glad I got to sit down with some 20s and 30s. But I can think of, well, that whole prayer team that I'm getting with on Wednesdays, they would love to be here. Yeah. I could think of 5 dozen people I know who have written me saying, I would love to be alongside people like this. And I would say, if you do, one, learn what it means to guard the gift. Ask God to teach you that.
Yes.
Because if you get near it and you want to exploit it and build a movement and a social following and... gee, you're going to do what God just said. I've had this taken from me so many times.
Yeah.
I think what God's been maybe preparing in some of us who've been down this journey of learning to live loved and disconnect from those religious sensibilities we were taught, not to become less a believer, but become more freely a believer. I hope God's prepared enough critical mass of that in the world that as God begins to move now, there'll be that voice in the world against those who are trying to package the flock, who are trying to box it into their own engagements and are trying to control the movement. Now, it's not necessarily because they're planting a church or a movement. It can just be a social media following or a target book audience. I mean, those are the things that we just do because that's responsible stewardship for the gift that I have. And it's all that religious sensibility crap. Yeah. So I'm hoping people in my generation and older ones in your generation, Kyle, are holding space in their heart to say, how do we incubate the space where this can grow, where these pools of water can pop up, and we're not trying to build a dam to put the water in a place where we can control it?
And I think despite whatever the chronological age is, I think one of the characteristics that I'm seeing in this movement, this new movement that God's doing, the subterranean movement that he's doing, one of the characteristics is a hypersensitivity to I'm packaging this or I'm bringing in an agenda or I've got ulterior motives. There's this hypersensitivity to it. And I think that was very provisional on God's behalf and what the Holy Spirit's been doing. But I think also it's something that we've got to be, those who are walking alongside and holding space have to encourage and champion as well is, yes, there is that hypersensitivity and that is a blessing that God has given you so that you can recognize and hint when somebody's trying to manipulate or mold you into something or, you know, but then it also has the flip side of it, the negative side of that potentially is throwing out the baby with the bathwater or completely going Lone Ranger or going rogue or disconnecting entirely from, or not being able to recognize people who have that genuine heart and desire and space to just walk with them. And they're very suspicious. Like even like when I saw and could sense where you were going with group holding community prayer yesterday. And I wasn't panicking that you were taking us there. My spirit instantly went, Lord, you better show up. Literally, that's what, like, that was my heart whisper as you were going. I was like, Holy Spirit, I know what's going through their minds, and you better freaking show up because we need a different experience here. Because if it does go down that, like, religious, for thou, you know, scripted prayer, eloquence, the Pharisee at the front row praying with all the glory and glam. I was like, that will just kill it. Like, it'll destroy it. And I knew that I've walked with you and journeyed with you enough to know that that wasn't your heart. That's not where you're taking it. But I could sense the panic in the room. And I was like, Lord, please, I need you to show up for this.
The panic in my heart, too.
I'm sure.
Like, yeah, if this turns into one of those prayer meetings, then it's just going to be sad.
Yeah.
But it didn't. People held space, and people grabbed onto that term. It's not a term that... And I like kind of new terms to shake people in the old realities because we've ruined all the good terms. We've taken worship and made it a song service instead of way of living. We've taken teaching and made a lecture and not a conversation where God illuminates something. We've taken prayer and made it this even in our personal prayers, you know, dear yeah. God, list of stuff, in Jesus' name, amen. That's prayer. Rather than, man, it's the ongoing conversation God and I are having through the day. And yeah. people who come to my heart that I love or that God's specifically assigned to my heart for this season, I just hold them. And I don't have to say, dear Jesus, I'm going to pray for this person today that you do X, Y, and Z. I can just say, Jesus, here's this person. I'm holding them right here in your presence. Anything you want to show me, just be near them. Make their life full today. Let the Holy Spirit well up in them. It's holding. And this is something that's so new for me, this holding space and guarding the gift. And I hope that other people hearing this are going, yes. Yeah. These are things yeah. God's showing me too. You're giving me language for stuff, or I already had this language and God's...
Yeah.
And we do want to hear from you, because I do think what I sense on this mountain with the few people that God has gathered here is that it's holding space and accomplishing stuff for things far wider in the world.
Yeah.
And we could get into some psychology stuff that we've talked about that would underscore this, but we don't have time because we're at the end of it. But we'll get into it probably up the road. The amount of even what social scientists are researching about the impact of, I would say they're actually being able to measure spirituality.
Yes.
It's not like, oh, it's all science after all. I don't believe that. I think they're measuring spiritual realities in ways that are intriguing.
Yes.
That I would completely agree with that. Not just in our own pie in the sky, but in fact, this people on this mountain going through this weekend is going to have impact way beyond the people that were here.
Yes.
In ways that we will never see or know.
Yeah.
Because it's stirring things. It might, some of it's going to be because what people hear here on this podcast, they go, wow, I want to be inside that reality as well. All good. Your hope to that is not Wayne and Kyle planning another retreat. Yeah. You're hoping that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That he has people for you to know. And there's maybe, if you're wanting some older people in your life that you can walk alongside, begin to ask him for that.
Yeah.
Help him show you. If you're an older person that feels like you can hold space without manipulating or franchising or marketing or whatever, then ask God to begin to show you people that you could be. And don't go gather. Don't go say, hey, God's told me to be your mentor. Don't. Just love. Invite into your life. Walk alongside. Let the relationship grow. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be. You're not going to make it there by trying to put it in a box. Yeah. And if you can hold space for that right now, do so. Let God show you what that is.
Well, and I want to speak an encouragement to anybody who's listening to this, or anybody who knows somebody who needs to hear this, that those who feel like they're on a lone island, that God's been doing something, he's been stirring something, and yet they feel like, I don't know anybody else who's in this conversation. Let this be an encouragement that God is stirring the remnant all over the world with this similar theme, this similar heart, this similar space. He is drawing them together in his mysterious, powerful, crazy, random ways. He is pulling it together. And I can't wait to see what that looks like.
Yeah, because it's water. You talk about bubbling up to the surface. One thing about water is it finds other.
Yes.
It begins to pool, and then a river, and then things begin to happen that's bigger than every little pool itself.
Yes.
And I think we're looking forward to that in days to come. So
absolutely.
Let's go see what the morning holds.
Awesome.
Thank you for traveling with us today on The God Journey. You can join this conversation by visiting thegodjourney.com.